This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope, East Hawaii. In the second part of this two-part message entitled, 10 Questions for Examining Your Life, Pastor Scott uses the last five of the Ten Commandments as points for us to contemplate as we evaluate how we are doing as Christians. Each commandment has a matching area or goal in which we should strive to excel. This message was delivered on April 15th, 2018. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Last week, we looked at five questions for examining our life. And you know, I learned a new phrase this week from some of you guys. Because we talked about using the name of the Lord God in vain. And you remember if we talked about it? And when we say, damn it, and the damn blocks, constricts, and we put God's name before it, we're actually asking God to restrict and damn it. So instead of using God's name in vain, two guys came up to me and said, oh, Scott, damn it. They're like, well, I'd rather you use my name because my name has no power and I will not damn anything. So if you got to use somebody's name in vain, you have permission to use my name instead of God's name. Amen? So two guys came up this week to tell me that, oh, Scott, damn it. Like, yeah, that makes sense because my name carries no weight. Amen? But if you use God's name, oh, that carries some weight. So, you go to the doctor, right? You ever go to the doctor and then they check you out and say, okay, come see me next week and we'll see how you're doing. You ever had that happen to you? They do that to me. Maybe not next week, but they always, for me, because of my age and because of my health issues and stuff like that, okay, everything looks pretty good. Come see me in 6 months. In 6 months, I go take my blood, my labs, and then I go and then they check. They got to check you regularly, yeah, because you don't know, at our age, you don't know what's falling apart. Yeah, I mean, some of you, Some of you, you get up and you just, oh my. And when I work hard physically, man, you can ask my wife. I am moaning and groaning like a baby. You know, when I go pour cement with some of the guys, I think I'm young. And you ever walk in cement and rake cement? Man, that is hard. It's like walking in glue and trying to move around. And you do that for a day, and it's like moaning and groaning. So at my age, I got to go to the doctor every 6 months. I got to go to the dentist every 6 months. And, I never used to like to go to the doctor, but I realized that I got to be at some level of health, and I got to examine my physical health. Because if physically I am not healthy and I'm not caring for myself, then how can I take care of anything else? If I was sickly, how could I come early in the morning and take care of what I need to take care of in the morning? So just as we do that physically, we get to do that spiritually. Amen? So this is week two. We got to continue the exam. So we talked about God, nothing before God last week. We talked about worship, not putting idols before God. We talked about misuse of God's name. We talked about Sabbath, rest, one which I really, I have yet to learn to practice that. And then the authority about honoring your mother and father. Then today, number six is peace. You must not murder. Like, yeah, right. Come on, I'm not a murderer. And most of you, I look at all of you, I don't think you're considered murderers. And back then, to help preserve society, and because people are made in God's image, the Israelites were commanded not to take another person's life by murder. Okay, so sometimes you think, who am I most angry and frustrated with at this time? Is there someone who you are looking to get even with? No, look at the neighbor next to you now. Eh? Are you harboring resentment in your heart? You know, when people cut you off, you like follow them to where they park and, oh, that's only me. Oh, maybe that's only me. You guys good then. The Lord traced murder back to the root of anger. So you think about it. I mean, we get angry. Angry leads to maybe frustration, and then it leads to murder. And you may not be able to bring healing to every relationship, but we got to guard our hearts. We got to confess bitterness. We got to ask God to change our hearts. Ask him to cleanse it. Matthew 5, 21, 22, Jesus says this. You have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you are subject to judgment. But I say to you, even if you're angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, how many of you driving and call people idiot? Hey, you get some honest people back there. Well, I guess we're going to have to talk about lying one day then. I catch myself and I'm so disappointed that I still do that. And that's my flesh. It's like for some reason, every time I drive, somebody in front of me drives slower. And I know some of you tell me that I speed. And, you know, maybe my speedometer is off, but I try to drive good. And so, okay, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. And I was like, holy smoke. It's like, wow. Sometimes when I write these sermons, there are more for me than for anybody else. Killing is a terrible sin. But anger is a sin also. Because it also violates God's commands to love. Because I think if you are angry or with someone, it's hard to be angry at someone and to love them. Kind of hard. You may be angry at their actions, but you still love them, and that's okay. You know, you'd be angry with their actions, but you still got to love them. But if you're angry with them and you want to kill them, then that's wrong. Anger is a dangerous emotion that threatens to, like, leap out of control. You know, like, the deeds of the flesh, outbursts of anger that leads to violence, emotional hurt, mental stress, spiritual danger. Anger keeps us in a place of developing that spirit that is pleasing to God. Maybe you've been proud that you didn't lash out with somebody with your tongue. Like, hey, I held my tongue. I was good. But in our mind, we killed them. I mean, self-control is a very good thing. But Christ, he wants us to not only practice self-control, but thought control. He wants us to help us to do self-control, mouth control, and thought control. Oh, that's on our own? No way. Holy Spirit can. Amen? We want to practice those things. Jesus said that we will be held accountable for these things. You know, you may not be murderers in the sense that you actually killed somebody. But how many of us used our words and we killed somebody's dreams? Or we said something and that you could see the light in their eyes dim because of the words that we use. I mean, I've said words that hurt my children, that kind of killed some spirit in them, which I regret. I ask for forgiveness. But so we might not be murderers physically, but are we killing people with our words? The next one, the seventh one, is purity. You must not commit adultery. In what ways have we given an expression to lust? This commandment is directed toward protecting the sanctity of our homes. the fundamental building blocks of our society. The marital vow was a holy commitment that should not be violated by sexual unfaithfulness under any circumstances. Hebrews 5:28, but I say, this is Jesus now, but I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And I guess if you were a woman, you would change it. If anybody looks at a man with lust, you have already committed adultery. And how many times when we're walking down the road, when we see that, we take one second look. Wrong already, so that's why you take that first one and you take a long, hard look. So you don't take that second one. Huh? You never hear that from me. Erase that from the tapes. Mike, can you edit that part out? Hey, so we got to practice it. Jesus traced adultery back to the lust in the heart. Lust will destroy your soul if you feed it and you allow it to grow. Your thoughts reveal who you are in your heart. Make an honest confession to God as you examine this area in your life. They said the only way one could commit adultery was through a sexual union. But Matthew says here, if you even look with something, with lust, you have already committed adultery in your heart. So as we examine ourselves, think about it, what we may be lusting after, and confess it, and ask God to help you with it. The eighth commandment, integrity. You must not steal. Well, yeah, we don't steal. We're not thieves. And even if we do steal, and even if you may be a thief, well, I am glad you're here because that's the people we need to reach. And if your car gets stolen from the parking lot, hey, at least you know they're coming to church, right? I mean, just because we're in church doesn't mean everything is safe, because we want sick to come to church so we can get them healed. Amen? We want thieves and robbers to come here so we can get them healed and get them saved. That's the whole point of our gathering, to invite people in to get them saved. God gives, Satan steals. The essence of stealing is that you take what God has entrusted to someone else, but do not give God what he has entrusted to you. Now, as we examine this part of our life, look, are we taking stuff from others that belong to God? And what are we giving back in return? Look at what you are receiving from God, and what are you giving back to him? This command was given to encourage the respect of others' property. Man, I wish everybody got that in this whole island, in this whole world, that you must not steal. Okay, here, this was given so that people would respect others' property. I mean, how many of you, your parents taught you to respect others' property, not to go and steal stuff from your neighbor? It's an important element in a stable society. And this is part of Satan's mission statement: kill, steal, and destroy. Now, we may not be thieves intentionally, but Malachi said this: will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. See, the people in Malachi's day ignored God's command to give a tithe of their income to his temple. They may have feared that if I give, I might not have. They worked for it, so they said it was mine. But they misjudged God. It says, give and you receive, it says. And when we give, we must remember the blessings from God's promises. It's not always material. And it may not be experienced completely here on earth. But we might receive some of it when we get to heaven. The ninth one, the way to examine ourselves is truth. You must not bear false witness against your neighbor. What has God entrusted to me? The ninth commandment, God calls us to be a person who can be trusted. Make a list of what God has given to you, has entrusted to you. Take an honest look at how you are being faithful or unfaithful with that trust. Ask God to prepare you for what he will entrust you with in the future. See, God knew that Israel could not survive unless its system of justice was incorruptible. Why should we be honest in our private dealings as well as our public statements? In any and every situation, we testify falsely by leaving something out of the story or telling half-truth. Caught a fish this big. You know, when somebody gives me a fish and I really like to say I caught it, so I tell somebody, throw it to me. So I catch it, and then I'm not lying. Wrong. Yeah, right, you are. That's half-truth. You never really catch them. You caught them, but you never catch them. Get it? Yeah. Sometimes I really attempted to do that. Sometimes I just post pictures of me with fish on Facebook and don't say nothing. You leave something out of the story. So everybody think, all my relatives on the wall was like, wow, where you went? Where you went? I'm like, I'm fishing. And I just like, oh, that's me. Sorry, okay, forgive me. Yeah. Right? I mean, we leave stuff out of the story. We tell half truth. God knows our hearts, right? He knows what we're doing. We cannot be telling half-truths, twisting facts, inventing falsehood. You know, sometimes we when we have our, every month we have our Eastway pastors' meetings, and sometimes you hear pastors are like, oh, yeah, I had like 500 people in church and 50 people got saved, and it's like, oh, yeah. Well, I had 1,000 people in church and 100 got saved, and man, no, we cannot be doing that because sometimes we want to make ourselves look good. And so, and sometimes when I go in these meetings, I rather not say how much people we had in our church because I don't want any of the smaller churches, they feel like, oh. So I just say, oh, we're doing good. This is what we're doing to disciple people. This is what we're speaking about. And I try not to share the attendance because I don't want anybody to feel like any less. So we just kind of, and some people like to share their attendance, which is good. I get encouraged by it, but I do not want to make anybody get discouraged, so I just don't do that. But we cannot be twisting facts and inventing falsehood. God warns us against deception. And even though deception is, you come across those people who lie about everything. And sometimes I feel so sorry for those people who are chronic liars because they got to lie to cover up lies, and they must be smart because they got to remember everything they lied about. I mean, you think about it. You lie about that fish you caught last time, and next time you got to lie about that lie, and you got to remember all those things you lied about or else they're going to catch you. And then when they catch you, oh, man, how humiliating is that? So I come to the point where it's just best, you're just best off telling the truth. Amen. The tenth one, contentment. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Man, sometimes you see, you know, your neighbors with nice things, and you think, like, how in the world do they afford those nice things? And you kind of like, wow. Yesterday, Al needed a truck with a pipe rack, so we switched. I have a 1999 Toyota Tacoma. Al has a 2015 Toyota Tacoma. And it's like, wow, I'd like to drive your truck. It's so nice. Just drive it. So I'm driving this truck, and it has one of those push-button things and automatic windows. Mine doesn't have that. So poor Al had to suffer with that yesterday. But I'm driving his truck, and like, wow, this is nice. Then I get home, I think, like, wow, I want to wash it. No, I better not wash it, because if I wash it, I'm going to fall in love with it. And if I fall in love with it, I'm going to covet it. And then it's like, okay, I'm just going to park it, leave it there, and take the backup car all day long because, man, his truck is nice. And if it smells good, too. And, you know, you're kind of like, wow, this is what it's like driving a new car. I have the oldest car in my family, and it has 250,000 miles. It leaks oil, it leaks antifreeze, but I love my car. I have learned contentment. I shall not look at my neighbor's Toyota Tacoma or his fishing poles. I mean, what is the greatest desire of your heart right now? How do these things relate to God's purpose in your life? Are you content? I mean, some things, okay, we cannot be content with. Spiritual growth. We cannot be like, oh, I'm happy where I'm at. Church growth. Oh, I'm happy where I'm at. Discipleship. We cannot be content with things like that, with learning. Oh, I'm content with where I'm at. I'm at a 12th grade level of learning. I am content. I am happy. But I'm talking about being discontent with your wardrobe, with your purse, with your iPhone, with your TV, with your car, with material things that really kind of don't really matter. You know, God knows. You know, possessions never make anyone happy for very long. How many of you realize that? Yeah. Brand new car, after the first dent, kind of like, oh. After the second dent, after the first rip in the seat. Actually, the first car, your brand new car, after the first dent, you mad. Yeah? But God knows those possessions, they're not going to make us happy for long, maybe for a season. And since God can supply all of our needs, true contentment is found only in Him. And when we begin to covet, we try to determine if a more basic need that we are envying. We may covet somebody else's success. Not because we want to take it away, but because we want to feel the same appreciation by others. And if that's the case, then pray that God will help you deal with any resentment you might have to meet your basic needs. Philippians 4:12, Paul writes, I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live with prosperity. Well, I like to just learn to live with prosperity. Isn't that better? In any and every circumstance, I learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both having abundance and suffering need. And Paul, of all persons, he knew how to get along with him having a lot, with him having a little, with him having his freedom, with him being in prison. He had his priorities right. His priorities was God and reaching the lost. Paul kind of detached himself from the non-essentials so that he could concentrate on the eternal. Sometimes we just not content. We want more. You know, my office is located at a storage facility, and I see the people that drive in with truckloads of stuff to put in storage. And I think that is crazy, because now you're just paying for it all over again. And there's a lot of people put stuff in storage. And some of them, if you look at the stuff, it's like junk, rusty stuff that's corroding, that's rotten, and they're paying to store these things. And I think, like, man, if you just got rid of it, you wouldn't have to pay to store it. And you're actually paying for it again and again and again and again. And then if you're late, you incur late fees and then penalties. And then they put on a lock. They lock you out until you pay. And then if you don't pay, it goes to auction. And it's like people covet, they buy, then they store. Sad. But I don't see any of you there. So you guys are good. Yeah. So these Ten Commandments, they're used as a guide to examine our life, to see if we are doing any of these things. And if we are doing any of things, if we are putting this and that before God, if we're using our words to kill people, man, and if we're coveting people, envy, if we're lying, we gotta, like, okay, come on. God used this commandments to help us to change. Now, God doesn't use this to condemn us and put us down. He uses this to encourage us to make a change in our lifestyle so that we can become better witnesses for Him. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team if you guys can come up. You know, it's really important that we pray. And I'm going to ask if any of you here never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, and it is done by saying a simple prayer. And I'm going to ask that you would bow your heads and that you would close your eyes and that you would pray with me this prayer. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? Anybody out there? All right. Lord, thank you so much. And I pray that over the last 2 weeks, as we looked at your Ten Commandments, that we would use this as a guide to get us on the right path, to get our spiritual life back in order, so that we would enjoy your blessings, enjoy your promises, and that we would be a good witness for you. Help us to examine our lives regularly in a spiritual way to make sure that we don't end up far, far off track one day, thinking that we're in the right place when we may be in the wrong place. So, Lord, help us to continually examine our lives. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Ready? Let's stand and let's worship the Lord.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.